Thank you very much, Dad. That sounds beautiful. Good morning. My name is Joyce Merrick. Welcome to the Center, Unity Center for Positive Living. Whether you are on your faith journey, wherever you are on your faith journey, we are glad you could join us this morning. Our welcoming song today is To the Morning. It could be led by Dallas and Linda. Please, if you are able, stand up and let's have some fun.
This song we sang at the very first time we were here. So we thought this was perfect. Dallas is singing.
This is a song about the inevitability of passing time and the goodness in accepting that. Thank you.
See the screen, but I assume the first one's up there. Today from 3 to 4:30 is Circle America, so they would love to have you join them if you're able. Next announcement is on Friday, May 2nd at 11 a.m. We're having a celebration of life for a longtime member of our church, Larry Lee, and it's going to be held right here in our church. And next Sunday, with heavy hearts, it's going to be our final service. Our speaker is going to be Audrey Pitchford, and Mike, Karen, and I are going to jointly do the music. So, heavy hearts that I have to say that.
Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? Susan's back in the room. That's a big announcement. So glad to see you.
Yay.
Missed you.
Yeah.
Unity statement. Please join me in saying our unity statement. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. There is only one presence and one power, active as the universe and as my life, God the good. Today, Dallas and Linda are going to lead us in Surely the Presence.
So nice deep breath. Feel yourself centered and grounded to the earth.
Over the years, I remember the ways I have felt less than free. Maybe I felt limited because of my background or personal history, my education or career, or because of things others believed about me. Without even realizing, I may have taken on a limited view of myself and what was possible for my life. But discovering the truth of myself as a spiritual being, a beloved child of God, has healed my heart and freed my soul. My life circumstances are only part of my story. I am so much more than the sum total of my experiences. My freedom lies in God and in my understanding of myself as divine. As I grow in confidence, realizing I can change my life through the power of my thoughts, I grow more free. I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought your precepts. Psalms chapter 119, verse 45. We are at that time now of our service where we practice gratitude. And if you have something you are especially thankful for this past week, feel free, or past month, feel free to share it with us briefly.
Susan. Actually, I would say 3 months. I am so grateful to all the people. I'm so very grateful to all the people who have done jobs they haven't done before and volunteering to make our Sunday services just as wonderful as they been. While Tom and I have been away, people have filled in for the jobs that we have done and stepped up to do many others, and I'm really grateful, and I know the whole church is grateful, so thank you to each and all of you.
I want to say I'm very happy and grateful and thankful for my beautiful wife. Today is our anniversary of 29 years.
Thank you, honey. Anybody else?
I'd like to say thank you. It's been such a joy to be here once a month and to meet all of you. And as Joyce said, bittersweet. It's sweet to be here, and it's hard to say goodbye. So thank you.
Thank you for coming. Anybody else? I don't think I've ever had a microphone in my hand that I got to walk around with. The first. Rise if you'd like, as Dallas and Linda lead us in our song of joy, Animate Joy. How appropriate name.
Now this is one. This is one that you can join hands, clapping.
Song. Did you write that one? Someone, Dallas wrote that song. I love it. Awesome. All right, each week a member of our congregation shares a reading with us. This morning our reading is going to be my husband, Phil Merrick. And I'm going to be surprised along with you because I haven't heard it. It was secretive.
I got this one here because this is one of Grandfather Roy's books, so I'm honoring Grandfather Roy today with this reading because this is, to me, Grandfather Roy was a special person. When he couldn't see to drive anymore, Joyce and I would pick him up on Sunday mornings when it was his week to speak, and we would drive him here. Some of the most interesting conversations we had in the car coming from his house up here to the church was just wonderful. That man was so smart and so learned and so much wisdom there that I really miss him. This is the start of the book called Voices from Birth Mother. Native American spirituality is very metaphysical. Now I know we speak a lot about metaphysical, but that's mostly in the religious stuff. This is talking about down to earth. Metaphysical, as experienced in North American Indian spirituality, assists that the spirit is basic to everything that exists. Therefore, it is important to understand the spiritual, metaphysical understanding of the four-legged, the winged, the swimmers, the crawlers, the stone people, and the green people. Native American metaphysical understanding reveals a benefit in the fact that the structural things in general offer to us a process of knowing the spiritual world within ourselves and provides methods of talking about our universe that becomes meaningful for our own individual journeys in life. Therefore, it is important to understand the spiritual, metaphysical understanding of the various life forms, for when we are attracted to any of these life forms, we need to be aware that they are being attracted to kindred spiritual aptitudes within ourselves. For example, we learn more about the bear or the beaver within us when we learn about the spirit of the bear or the spirit of the beaver. When we study the ancient tribal legends, we discover that there are legends and the legend is in us. The bear, the raven, the coyote in the legend are the bear, the raven, and the coyote within us. The animals in these legends are people, bear people, raven people, coyote people, etc. Here in the Pacific Northwest, Indian people go on vision quest. We are seeking our medicine spirit, our spiritual guide. If a bear, raven, hawk, butterfly, or other form of life comes to us, it is speaking to us in spirit form. We can better understand what happens if we understand the spiritual, metaphysical understandings of the many life forms that we must continually remember the stone people are very much alive. Paul the Apostle alerts to this concept in Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even with his internal power and Godhead. And God created us in his image. Therefore, we can understand the spiritual powers that are residential within us by the things that are made. Enjoy your spiritual journey. I found that very interesting, and you know, because that was the start of this book, and he talks about all different animals, plants, and different things. And to me, it was amazing to read. And I want to say again, thank you, Grandfather Roy, for being you.
Thank you very much, Bill. Affirmations, please join me as we affirm them together. Is that there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. I am a joyous being of light. I am the love of God in expression. I am grateful for all that I am. I am one with the abundant nature of the universe. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time and in the perfect way. We have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. This month, it is my complete pleasure to introduce Eileen Selick, who's going to finish the trip to Bellingham. Is that Bellingham? That's where I'm from.
Well, I've never been, and I'm not planning on going today. So.
Oh, not today. Okay, how about the trip to Bellingham?
Bellingham makes more sense.
How Bellingham came out. Oh, my goodness.
That's always helpful, right?
All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, we are on our last stage here in our little booklet that we have been following for like a year and a half now. What was supposed to be a year long journey, right? So we are going to finish with our trip to Bethlehem, the traditional Christmas story as a guide to spiritual transformation. And this is by Hypatia Hasbrock, and it is a Unity book. I picked it up at Unity of Olympia 25-ish years ago. In their library, and I finally picked it up a couple years ago, and it was pretty awesome. So we are going to wrap up with it today, which is super, super exciting. And let's see. All right. So one of my favorite parts. We got to talk about the foundations of this journey. All right. So we have three different levels to Bible meaning, right? So there are three levels, and we've talked about this month after month. So let's cover it again for one last time, friends. So we have the literal meaning. So this is the words on the page. No more, no less. We read them, we accept them as truth as they are written. We don't read into it at all. I have some folks in my life like that. It's an interesting way to live. Our second level of meaning is the moral meaning. A lot of people follow the moral meaning. We read it, there's a lesson there, we go with it. And then there's that third level of meaning, and that is the metaphysical meaning. The metaphysical meaning, literally beyond the physical. And this is when we read those words and we interpret them and we seek the meaning for ourselves. We are seeking that meaning that is beyond the words that are printed on the page that speak to our own soul. So our other foundations, and this is like my favoriteest of these foundations, and that is that Jesus is not a myth. I'm going to say it. Jesus is not a myth. All right. In order for Jesus to be a myth, we have to accept some things. We have to accept that a committee of Jews fabricated a man to be the Messiah. We have to accept that they created a background for this man out of myths from the Romans, Egyptians, Greeks, Syrians, Hindus, Buddhists, and Chinese. And we have to understand that they had never had any interaction with many of these cultures. Therefore, why would they come up with these particular attributes? We have to accept that they gave this made-up Messiah traits that flew in the face of society, such as acceptance of women as equals, tolerance of non-Jews, friendship with sinners, and the forgiveness of the Romans. And we have to accept that these men portrayed themselves badly and that they knowingly risked their own lives, some suffering death, while steadily proclaiming faith in their lie. That one in particular is one of the strongest arguments for the existence of Christ, and that is that men will not die for a lie. They'll go pretty far for a lie. They will not give up their life for a lie. The final foundation is that we need to understand that truth is more than mere fact. We need to understand that truth is the invisible eternal principles which underlie everything that appears in the outer world. And lastly, just a side note, it's a journey. And journeys rarely go in straight linear lines as we plan them. They have backtracks and circle rounds and squiggly lines. And so we need to accept that as we are on our journey, we're going to come back around and we're going to experience stumbling blocks, and we're going to fall down every now and then, and we just need to get back up and continue. All right. So friends, we recognize in Unity, 12 powers of man. And it is believed that when developed, these powers or these faculties, they will lead us to a life of unspeakable joy and glory. These powers, they correlate with specific parts of the body. They are also represented in the 12 months of the year, the 12 apostles of Christ, and 12 colors. And of course, as you know, if you've been in this room with me for the past year and a half, you would know that each stage of our journey is also represented by one of the 12 powers. And this month is no different. So let's take a look at those stages and those powers. So the first one, we have stage one, renunciation. This is the weakening of the egocentric ego, and this is represented by Herod in our story of the baby Jesus. So Herod represents that egocentric ego, or that self-centered person, and Herod is the only enemy of the newborn Christ. It's the only enemy of the Christ within is our own ego. And the egocentric ego is the only enemy of our inner Christ or the Christ in our story. So stage one is to release our self-centered tendencies. I've said it before, that's probably one of my hard ones. I circle back to that a lot.
All right, stage two brings us the power of wisdom, and this is following the star. Wisdom is the ability to discern the best or most godlike way to make use of knowledge and to judge on the basis of principle, righteously and impartially. In our story, wisdom is represented by the three wise men following the star. So it is their actual act of following the star that is the wisdom. Stage three, we have grace and understanding. So this starts the actual transformation of consciousness by revealing our potential for embodying grace. Grace being the generous love and mercy of God, and they're always active. Grace is represented in our story by the unexpected blessing of Elizabeth and Zechariah's conception of their son John. In case you don't know, that's John the Baptist. In their advanced age, after being deemed barren. Stage four brings us to imagination, and I'm just going to say it one last time. This is my favorite picture. So with stage four, we have imagination, and this stage of the trip to Bethlehem requires us to engage our power of imagination. Imagination gives us the ability to mentally see or visualize what exists only in potential, what has not yet been expressed. The mind must be able to conceive the idea of the Christ before it can become fully birthed within us. In this stage, it centers around the Virgin Mary and when Gabriel visited her to tell her that she would bear the child of God, the Messiah, and his name would be Jesus, and she accepted. Stage five brings us to faith, our ability to believe and trust that God's will is for our highest good, even before the good has appeared in our lives. In this stage of our journey, faith in the idea of the Christ becomes strong. Six, we have will. And will is the power to make choices. We have the power to make choices. And that choosing to seek God's will is the most important, the process of transformation. In seeking God's will, we are ready to do whatever is required to allow the higher self to emerge and take its rightful place as the governing center of consciousness. In our story, this stage is represented by Joseph. And we had some conversation on that day about how Joseph, he really wasn't sure that this was the right path for him. He thought that some things had perhaps happened that he was not privy to. And yet an angel came to him and told him that Mary was a righteous woman. So in our story, this is where Joseph chooses to remain with Mary. And he chooses to allow God's will to be done in and through him. We need strength. The newly emerged inner Christ is fragile, and it requires a conscious commitment to nurture it. In this fragile state, the Christ needs to be protected. So at this point, the Christ has been born, and yet it is still fragile, and it needs protecting. And so we wrap it up tight, and we lay it in a manger. We keep it restrained so that the strength of its infinite potentialities is focused within the individual psyche. Commitment to the nurturing of the Christ within requires persistence, patience, endurance, a firm purpose, and stability, all aspects of the faculty of strength, which are enhanced when the Christ comes alive in the consciousness. Love. April is the month of love. Just putting that out there. Stage eight in our journey was love. And the Christ has been born. Love has been born in us. True love, spiritual love, divine love. Stage eight illustrates the attracting and harmonizing forces of divine love, the very nature of God represented by the Christ child. And this divine love is also the principle of oneness, as God is the only presence and the only power. At this point in our story, we see Joseph and Mary following the Jewish traditions of circumcision, purification rites, sacrifice, and dedicating the child to Jesus, all in the proper order. Stage 9 illustrates the proper sequence of inner events following the emergence of the Christ, and this expression of the faculty of order gives service to God first priority in our lives. In the stage 10, we acquire the poise, self-mastery, and power over ourselves and circumstances that can only come after we have committed to expressing the higher self. When the accumulated wisdom of the ages, or spiritual wisdom that is symbolized by the Magi, arises in a consciousness committed to nurturing the higher self and serving God, the faculty of power gains a spiritual dimension, and it becomes spiritual power. In stage 11, we have zeal. Gabriel appears to Joseph in a dream to tell him to take the mother and child to Egypt because Herod plans to kill the child. Immediately, Joseph arises and the family starts for Egypt. The enraged Herod orders the massacre of all male children, 2 years old and younger, in and around Bethlehem. As an attribute of God, zeal is the eternal activity which creates and sustains everything that appears and impels each thing towards fulfillment of the divine idea from which it originates. In other words, zeal is God's unbroken flow of life. When the faculties are spiritually balanced and zeal is active, we do not need to depend upon only our limited human intellect. God will guide us every step of the way. And my friends, this brings us to stage 12. All right, this may take place as my favoriteest picture in this slideshow because I do love me a good tree of life, all right? And this is a pretty good tree of life. So let's take a look here. In this stage, this is where we are in the story. A year or so after the massacre, Herod dies. In Egypt, Gabriel appears again to Joseph to tell him that it is safe for the family to return to Israel. However, when Joseph realizes that Herod's son now rules in Jerusalem, he does not go back to Bethlehem, but instead, he takes his family to Nazareth. So folks, the higher self has survived. All of the trials and tribulations set forth so far, the higher self has survived. And this in itself is evidence of the power of life. With the death of Herod, the egocentric ego is no longer the center of consciousness. He's been defeated, finally and forever. The Christ can now safely activate spiritual thoughts without fear. But since peace of mind, which is represented by Jerusalem in Judea, is the state of consciousness in which the egocentric ego can again become powerful, the intellect, which is represented by Joseph, protects the developing Christ by surrounding it with simple spiritual thoughts of an apparently ordinary consciousness. This is represented by the Israelite people of Nazareth. The Christ has been safe in the psyche, represented by Egypt, protected by the thinking and the feeling nature, Joseph and Mary. The growing inner Christ stimulates all spiritual faculties to greater activity. For the preservation of the Christ idea is the work of the faculty of life. In the mind of God, life is the unceasing creative activity within all things, unceasing and creative, which impels them toward the realization of the divine idea they are designed to express.
As a spiritual power in us, the faculty of life directs the work of all the other faculties toward the full development of the higher self, the Christ idea we are designed to express. So life is at work throughout all of the stages of the journey, this mystical trip to Bethlehem. But in this final stage, the protection and the nurture of the higher self, the Christ has taken its place as the center and the priority in our own life journey. I found this to be an interesting touch of scripture. It may seem somewhat familiar. So friends, in Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and exist,